Ebenezer knew that as well as I did, but he and I shared a common trait. He doesn't like bullies, either. He'd be glad to have me, and he'd fight to the death against the Reds if they came, but I didn't want to draw that kind of thing down on him. I was grateful for the old man's support, but I owed him more than that. Besides, I was almost as well protected here in Chicago. My own wards, defensive screens of magic to protect my apartment, had kept me safe and alive for a couple of years, and the presence of a large mortal population kept the vampires from trying anything completely overt. Wizards and vampires notwithstanding, everyone in the supernatural community knew damn well that plain old vanilla mortals were one of the most dangerous forces on the planet, and went out of their way not to become too noticeable to the population at large. The population at large, meanwhile, did everything it possibly could to keep from noticing the supernatural, so that worked out. The vampires had taken a poke or two at me since the war began, but it hadn't been anything I couldn't handle, and they didn't want to risk being any more obvious. Thus, Ortega and his challenge. So how the hell was I supposed to fight a duel with him without using magic? My bed called to me, but that thought was enough to keep me from answering. I paced around my living room for a while, trying to think of some kind of weapon that would give me the most advantage. Ortega was stronger, faster, more experienced, and more resistant to injury than me. How the hell was I supposed to pick a weapon to go up against that? I supposed if the duel could be worked into some kind of pizza-eating contest, I might have a shot. But somehow I didn't think that the Pizza Express Hungry Man special was on the list of approved weaponry. I checked the clock and frowned. Dawn was only minutes away, and Bob wasn't back yet. Bob was a spirit being, a spirit of intellect from one of the more surreal corners of the Never Never. He wasn't evil as much as he was magnificently innocent of any kind of morality. But as a spirit, daylight was a threat to him, as surely as it was to the vampires of the Red Court. If he got caught out in it, it could kill him. Dawn was about 2 minutes off before Bob returned, flowing down the ladder and toward the skull. Something was wrong. Bob's manifestation of a candle flame-colored cloud of swirling lights bobbed drunkenly left and right on its way back to the shelf with a skull. Purple globs of glowing plasm dribbled from the cloud in a steady trail, striking the floor, where they winked out into blobs of transparent goo. The cloud flowed into the skull, and after a moment, faint violet flames appeared in the skull's empty eye sockets. "Ow," Bob said, his voice tired. "Hell's bells," I muttered. "Bob, you all right?"
"No."
"Bob? Monosyllabic? Crap. Is there anything I can do to help?"
"No," Bob said faintly. "Rest."
"But..."
"Report," Bob said. "Have to."
Right. He'd been sent out on a mission and he was feeling pressured to finish it. What happened?
"Wards,"
Bob said.
"Marcones."
I felt my mouth fall open.
"What?" "Wards,"
Bob repeated. I sat down on my stool. How the hell did Marcone get wards? Bob's tone became a shade contemptuous.
"Magic?"
The insult relieved me a little. If he was able to be a wise ass, he'd probably be okay. "Could you tell me who did the wards?"
"No. Too good."
Damn. A spell had to get up pretty early in the morning to get around Bob. Maybe he'd been hurt worse than I thought. What about Ortega?
"Rothschild," Bob said. "Half a dozen vamps with him. Maybe a dozen mortals."
Bob's eyelights flickered and guttered. I couldn't risk losing Bob by pushing him too hard, and spirit or not, he wasn't immortal. He wasn't afraid of bullets or knives, but there were things that could kill him. "Good enough for now," I said. "Tell me the rest later. Get some sleep." Bob's eyelights flickered out without another word. I frowned at the skull for a while and then shook my head. I collected my potion bottles, cleaned up the work area, and turned to leave and let Bob get some rest. I was leaning over the ward flames to blow them out when the green candle hissed and shrank to a pinpoint of light. The yellow candle beside it flared up without warning, brighter than an incandescent light bulb. My heart started pounding, and nervous fear danced over the back of my neck. Something was approaching my apartment. That's what it meant when the flame spread from the green to the yellow candle. Warning spells I had threaded out to a couple of blocks from my house had sensed the approach of supernatural hostility. The yellow candle dimmed, and the red candle exploded into a flame the size of my head. Stars and stones. The intruder that had triggered the warning system the ward flames were linked to was getting closer, and it was something big. Or else a lot of somethings. They were heading in fast to set off the red candle so quickly, only a few dozen yards from my house. I dashed up the ladder from the lab and got ready to fight.